in Lay Training. I am Jay Daye, and we're a variety show, changes topics every week. And this week, you're here for some science shit. And I think I mentioned in the episodes before about the theme I'm going to be going with this season for my science episodes, because I think when I first started, I did like a whole season of just like plants and like things like that. And then one season I did like stars only, like only space stuff. And then one I kind of did like more like Earth stuff, like more things that happen on Earth, like weather. And this time I think I want to do things about the human body. Well, maybe not just the human body, but like bodies in general, because I've just been so interested in like so many different things when it comes to what's going on inside of us. You know, like people don't really think about the cellular respiration that happens, like the amount of cells that die in our body every second of every day. And like even like thinking like, what is blood doing? Like, yeah, it's like going from your heart to like your thing, but like, do you remember what it used to do? Like back in like the old timey days when we were learning about like how blood carried oxygen, like, do you know how blood carried oxygen? Like, I don't know. There's just like a lot of things, or even like we talked back, you know, I don't know. Sex ed, they didn't really talk about like how a baby was made, I think, but you don't like, I don't know if you really remember how the genes exchange between the egg and the sperm, you know what I mean? Or how like the chromosomes unwrap themselves. There's just like a lot of stuff that happens in the body that I personally need a refresher, and I think would be a really good theme to have for the science episodes. I'll obviously throw in some space stuff, because I mean, I have to throw in space stuff because James is out here fucking discovering everything but the fucking kitchen sink. So I'm gonna have to talk about that. But you know, I kind of thought bodies, like humans, maybe some animals. Well, I guess the same things that happen to us in our bodies happens to animals. So I guess there's gonna be a lot of crossover there. But yeah, so that's kind of like gonna be the vibe. And this week, I'm going to be talking about the eyeball. Eyes are really interesting because they're not something that you really think about. But if you're not blind, you use your eyes for like literally everything. Like at this very moment, you're probably using your eyes unless they're closed. And if you have your eyes closed and you're listening to a podcast, please tell me what's going on. What's wrong? Let's talk about it. But yeah, like one of the facts that really got me into eyes was talking about how they evolved. So I kind of looked it up just to get like an actual answer, because I'm not out here trying to give false information. Mildly incorrect information, yes, but completely false, that's not who I am. And one of the things that I did hear is that eyes evolved like independently, meaning like, you know how we all have like DNA? Like, that's because we have like a common ancestor, like a common relative from back in the day that also had DNA, and that's how we kind of got it. So there's kind of like a tree that connects everybody. It's called the Tree of Life. And I did talk about it in my angiosperms episode, but pretty much we all came from something, bitch. Like, let me just tell you. And our common ancestors, I was like thinking like, okay, well, maybe the eyes did come from one fucking fish or something that we came from. And I looked it up just to be sure, because I don't remember where I heard it or saw it, but I looked up, like, do eyes evolve independently? And what Wikipedia says, which people are like, don't take answers from Wikipedia because people can, like, change it themselves. Okay, but, like, also they have citations. So, I mean, you can just read the citations. And I've read them sometimes. So, come on. I think it's accurate enough, bitch. But pretty much what it says, like, simple light detection is found in bacteria, single-celled organism, and plants and animals. Which I'll get into when I start talking about eye, like what is the eye and different eyes and animals. But complex image-forming eyes evolved independently several times. So what that means is, since the beginning of time, we've all, animals, fucking bugs, fucking plants, bacteria, have needed, I mean, listen, without the sun, we'd be dead, all right? The sun gives us life, all right? And as animals that need the sun for light, we need to know where the fuck the sun is at. So we all had some sort of hole on our body that could tell us where the light was, or if there was light or if there wasn't light. That was pretty much what it would say. And from there is how you start getting the complex eyes. That's where you get the eyes that can see really far, the eyes that have 160 degree vision. That's where you get the eyes that can see in the dark, like ultraviolet, bitch. Like, that's where you start getting crazy eyes. And all of those have evolved independently, meaning they don't come from just one ancestor. Like, every single animal has its own eye because it evolved it all on its own. So I think that's really interesting. And I think our eyes are very interesting, but they're not the coolest. So this episode, I'm just going to talk about what is the basic structure of our eye, what was kind of the beginning formations of an eye, how did it get, like, complicated, and then I did look up some weird animals that have weird eyes, so I'm going to talk about that to kind of talk about all the different evolutions of the eyeball. All right, let's go. Is literally the coolest thing in the whole entire world. Like, it is, like, so powerful that, like, you can see something as close as, like, your phone. You know, I mean, maybe some of you are looking at your phones, but you can see something so close to your face and clear, unless you have your vision impaired, or you weren't and you're not wearing glasses. Like, if you put something close to your face, you should be able to see it pretty clearly. And then you're able to see something so close to your face, but also the moment you put your hand down and look out into the horizon, you're able to see, like, if you're in LA, you're able to see the city skyline, you know what I mean? Like, in pretty sharp detail. I mean, you can tell there are buildings, you know, unless you got an astigmatism like your boy over here, like, you can pretty much tell what's going on out there. And that's a really cool thing about our eyes, is the sharp detail it has for distances and how quickly it's able to adjust to compensate for any fucking thing that's going on. So the origins of the eye is about 500 million years ago, which is a very long time. Not a long time in Earth's history. I mean, Earth is like 4 billion years old. But the eye was, like, really simple. I mean, it was just a little spot on our bodies that was able to detect light. And some animals still have that to this day. There's this algae that I saw in this TED Talk video called Eugenia. And it has, like, a collection of light-sensitive proteins that are kind of, like, connected to its tail. So if you've ever seen, like, a sperm, you know how, like, sperm have, like, that little tail that wiggles around? That's called a flagella, and these little light-sensitive proteins are connected to that. So every time it would get light, the little flagella would start flapping around. So it was kind of its way of knowing where to go to get food, because the Eugenia is algae, and algae eat light. So it needs to know where the light is because girl needs to go get some food. So that's kind of the most simplest form of what the eye used to be. Just a spot. Just like a little spot that could, you knew where, that if there was light and there wasn't light. So think of that as your great grandpappy. And then the more that animals began to evolve, this is where the eye starts to get a little bit more complex. So that flat spot started to curve, and that's where you start getting kind of like a little bowl shape. Okay, so instead of a plate, you now have a bowl. And another one of animals that has similar eyes to that is the flatworm called Planaria, which they are not cute. Do not look them up. They're so ugly. They look like a little turd. It's a little triggering. And these have like little bowls for eyes. So pretty much these cupped holes in their body enables the eye to get a better sense of the direction of light. Because now that they're curved, you're able to get light from different angles than just it being flat. Like, you're able to see a lot more when you can see things from a specific direction. And when your eyes are cupped like that, like a bowl, it makes it a lot easier to tell from which way. Because if it's just flat, then you only have one direction that you can see the light, and it's up. Because you can't see it from the side because your eye is flat. So when it's cupped, then you're able to see light come in from the side, from the bottom. You know, you're able to see different directions, which makes it a little bit more clear about, like, if you're an animal and you're running away from prey, you're able to, like, see them a little bit better. And over the millennia, as animals started to pretty much, like, fight, I mean, like, listen, evolution is a battle of survival of the fucking fittest. Like, if you're weak, you're dead, all right? And I guess that's kind of the beautiful thing about evolution, right? I don't know. Murder. And part of that was the evolution of the eye. The eye had to start getting more and more complicated to have an advantage over its competitor, right? The person that can see side to side and up and down is gonna have an advantage over the person that can only see up. But pretty much, as the evolutionary arms race of the eyeballs started to take on, this is where you start getting a more circular type of eyeball, kind of like us. So as the cup grew deeper, the opening at the front started to get smaller, and it made more of a pinhole. So that's where you think about a pupil. This pinhole effect increased the resolution dramatically, and it reduced a lot of the distortion by only allowing a little bit of light to enter the eye. And we have these simple type of eyes still to this day. There is like this little, there's this like cousin to the octopus called the Nautilus. They look like one of those fucking Star Trek or Star Wars characters. Like, I can't like describe it, but it looks like a Zoidberg. And it uses this pinhole eye for improved resolution and directional sensing of its environment. So when you have too much light, it hurts. I mean, you guys know it. When you enter a room and there's a shit ton of light, your eyes fucking hurt. Like, it's just like, Jesus Christ. And our eyes kind of compensate for that and get really small. That's why, like, if you ever see, like, one of these bitches with colored eyes out in the sun, their eyes look like they pop. It's because their fucking pupils are fucking tiny. That type of control that you have in your eye, you don't have when it's just a big open like bowl. So by having this little pinhole, you're able to really control how much of the light that goes in. But keep in mind, for this like Nautilus, this little Zoidberg thing, it can't control how much light it can let in. It's just like a hole. So the next thing that's going to help your vision become crystal clear is going to be the evolution and the formation of the lens and the cornea. So the lens is inside of your eye between your cornea, which is the outer part of your eye, and the middle. So this lens is like a collection of cells that helps direct 1/3 of the light to your retina. And that's important because that's what helps make you have clear vision, is that the light needs to be directed to the cones in the back of your eye. And the cone, it's a tip, it's a really sharp tip. You need to have a really sharp little piece of light. So that's what the lens helps do. Now, the cornea is outside of that, and that actually directs 2/3 of the light towards your retina, which is very important. And the cornea is that outer part of your eye that twinkles in the starlight. You guys have heard about the cornea. It's like some people, like, I don't know if you'd like, they scratch their cornea or I don't know, whatever. It's like the clear front surface of the eyeball. Like when you get LASIK, they pretty much like cut like your cornea kind of. If you ever heard about LASIK, it's like when they take a laser to your eye and like fix your vision. The cornea is just like a really thin, clear tissue that covers the outermost layer of your eye. And think of this as like the window to the soul. So when you get LASIK, the cornea is like what makes sure the light is controlled when it goes inside of your eye. So if a window is dirty, you're not going to see too clearly outside the window, right? Or if you ever see a window, can you know like windows that have like those designs on them where like they kind of distort the picture, like they kind of like, they kind of like warp it a little bit, kind of like a fishbowl. That's because the glass is like warped, so it makes the image not look clear. And pretty much your cornea does that. So when you have bad vision, it's because that glass is like warped and you can't really see things clearly. So with LASIK, they take that glass and pretty much like shave it down to where it's not warped anymore and it's clear. And I mean, it's very invasive. Like, listen, you guys, I have a whole like tangent I want to go on LASIK, but I just don't know how to do it because I really want it, but also it's like a crazy procedure, but it's like so normalized. I don't know. It's so crazy. But anyway, the reason why it's important to have like your cornea not be fucked up is because as the light enters your eye, the light gets refracted. And what that means, it's like it's bent because of the cornea's curved surface. So the refraction of the light, so the bent light, helps determine how well you can focus on objects far and close. Like, you know, depth perception, or, you know, that's why if you have an astigmatism, you're farsighted or nearsighted. That's because your ability to focus on objects far and close is fucked up because your cornea is fucked up. So when you put on glasses, imagine it's like you're putting on another cornea that, like, let's say your cornea is the shape of a fucking, let's say it's like bent to the left, all right? You're gonna have glasses that is gonna help balance out your cornea so where the light enters your eye perfectly normal. So that's why it's corrective lenses, because it's helped correct the fucked upness of your eye to make you see more clearly. That's why the cornea is important, because it does that. But, I mean, also, it does protect your eye from disease, from infection, from stuff, because your eye is filled with liquid, bitch. Like, your eyes are juicy grapes, you know? They're not fucking apples, bitch. Like, these things are juicy. They can pop. So, pretty much, the cornea is just, like, a whole bunch of transparent cells covering that pupil to help prevent like infection and all that stuff. But yeah, pretty much that was my little tangent about LASIK. But the reason why I brought that up is just because my doctor was like showing me the shape of my cornea. And let me tell you guys, it's actually insane how your cornea can really get warped. And also, PSA, do not rub your eyes. Apparently, the more you rub your eyes, the more you fuck up your cornea and the more you fuck up your vision. Because I was going to get LASIK, and then she asked me, she's like, do you rub your eyes? And I was like, no, I mean, I do when I'm like really tired or if I'm like really high, you know, and your eyes get heavy, you know what I'm saying? And like, I rub them, and she was like, oh, well, if you rub your eyes, then you're not a good candidate for LASIK. And obviously, I started lying and backtracking because I wanted LASIK. So I was like, no, I don't rub my eye. Like, I just, like, I don't. Like, that's stupid. Who the fuck would do that? Like, what? But, yeah, apparently, like, even if you get LASIK, because the doctor just literally split open your cornea. And let's say your cornea is bent over to the left, like I mentioned. He just burned off the whole left side. So now you have a perfect cornea, but now what they do is like they cut a little layer of it, like a flap, open it up, then burn the fuck out of your eye. Once they flattened out your eye and made it perfectly round like it's supposed to, then they put that little flap on top, and then the eye is amazing. It heals itself in like a couple hours, and then your eye is pretty much back to normal. But it's still like, it's still there. I mean, it's still like, your eye has literally fucking been fucking cut open, bitch. So when you rub it, it's like you have like a little scab, and then you fucking rub it and the scab opens up again. And that's not good. So yeah, another reason probably why not to get LASIK, but also do not rub your eyes. It's really bad. I listen, Leslie, she, oh my gosh, you guys, like if she's listening to this, she will literally like get a jackhammer and put it on her eyeball and turn it on. And I'm like, you need to calm down. Like, I know it feels great to rub your eyes, but Jesus Christ. I use eye drops. I mean, because for me, it's more the sensation of my eyes feeling wet again, I guess. But listen, just don't rub it, all right? Just, I rub the little insides, like the little middle parts. You can rub that. That's what my doctor said. She's like, you can rub like the inner corners or like the sides, but not like, don't fucking rub your eye. So, little tip. Anyway, back to the fucking episode before this is fucking 2 hours long. Pretty much as the eye was evolving, I was telling you, it was turning into a cup and now like a big circle with a little pinhole and then whatever. So then you have your cornea, the little transparent cells covering the little pupil. And I'm going to define what the retina, I'll just say what it is. Okay, so the retina is where the light collects in the back of your eye. So this is where your eye and your brain start to create the picture of what they see. It does that by transforming the light into electrical signals that then go into the optic nerve of the eye. Then the optic nerve of the eye transmits those electric signals into the brain. And then bam, you have a picture. And, you know, the funny thing about the retina is that it perceives the world from upside down. And it's actually your brain that turns it right side up. Isn't that crazy? So, like, if for some reason, like, your brain and your eyes were not connected and, you know, if your brain didn't know to flip things over, like, we'd be looking at everything upside down. Like, that's insane. And the other cool thing about the retina is, like, you know, so evolution, people like to think that it's, like, very intentional, very on purpose. I'm very much like that, dude. When I think about evolution, I think it's just like, okay, yeah, so these animals are consciously being like, bitch, like, I need to walk on land, like, out of the water. Like, I'm going to do it tomorrow. But apparently that's not how it works. I don't really understand it. That's what I've been trying to figure out my whole life. But apparently when evolution happens, it's not perfect. And one of the weird things about our eyeballs is like we have these cones in the retina that help capture that light. And you would think, okay, so they're in the back trying to catch the light, right? But the cones aren't facing your pupil. Like, the smart thing would be like, okay, the cones would be facing the pupil because the light is coming from the pupil. So obviously let's point everything towards the opening. But instead, your retina is facing the other way, which is really weird because it's like, why? That's so stupid. Like, why wouldn't you be facing inside? And it's actually leaves us with like a blind spot, which is so interesting because octopuses, I think, their cones are facing their pupil, so they can see crystal clear images. They have no blind spots in their eyes, which is so interesting fact to know, because you're just like, wow, how much more improved could my eyes be if evolution wasn't fucking stupid and making them turn the opposite way? Like, it's like you're gonna go get a tan, but instead of laying out in the sun, you just lay down in your room. Like, why would you do that? That's so dumb. You might still get some sun. You're going to get a little bit of sun from the window, but what? I don't know. It's really interesting. The retina. Fuck you. Okay, so talking about the evolution of the eye. So now we have this circular thing filled with liquid with these cones facing the opposite direction, capturing light, a little hole in the middle, a lens, the cornea, all that stuff. Now, the cool thing about humans is we have something called an iris. And the iris is the colored part of your eye. But more importantly, it's the part of your eye that lets light in. So whenever I mentioned before about colored eyed bitches, when they're outside, their eyes are mostly the iris, so it's the colored part of your eye, because the iris is what's closing that little pinhole, because too much light can fucking damage your eye. I mean, you know that. Like, if you look at the sun, it's gonna hurt, so you can't have that much light come in your eye. So the iris controls just how much of that goes in. So that's why when you see people inside, you might see more of their pupil, and the pupil is just the black part of their eye. Or like, if you've been around people that have been on drugs, their pupils are dilated. The iris has opened up the eye, that little pinhole, it's opened it up. So that unique thing about our eye is what makes us very special as well. I mean, not special in regards to other animals, but our eyes in general. Because not every animal can do that. All of the analogies that I was watching, like, I watched this video about eyes, like, explained for kids. Because also, bitch, like, bitch, I'm just a baby. I'm just a baby. I don't have no money. And I was like, let me get, like, a simple explanation of it. And they compared the eye a lot to a camera, right? Because a camera has a lens. A camera has something called an aperture, which controls how much light comes into the camera. Whenever you hear a camera go click, or if you ever see a camera, like you see the lens and then something closes in front of it, like that's an aperture going on and off. That's kind of what is going on with our eye. So those are some of the comparisons that people were making. And it's so interesting how us as people, when we make technology, a lot of times it does mimic real life. It's called biomimicry, and it's when we make inventions that mimic things in nature, because a lot of times, dude, nature has it right, bitch. Like, let me tell you, like, let's think of an animal, like, okay, so a termite mound. So termites are really cool because they make homes. They make homes like ants, you know. Like, have you ever seen like an anthill? So think of an anthill, but 50 trillion times bigger and made of like sand. So these like things that come out of the ground, the termites are underground. So they have these mounds where air comes in and out, but the way that they make the mounds and they put the holes in there makes it so that it's kind of like air conditioning, to where, because they live in like really hot places, so when the hot air, when there's air being blown into their mound, it creates like a cooling effect in their little ant hole, termite hole, and it pushes all that stale air that is in there, all the farts that the termites have, and it blows it out of another end, and it's kind of their own air conditioning. And these are designs that we can take into our everyday structures to create buildings that cool themselves off without us having to turn on AC, and we save power, there's not rolling blackouts and all this stuff. So that's called biomimicry, and it's interesting that we made cameras based off of like our eyes to create like these really cool instruments that we use to this day, you know? Damn, bitch, I've been going on so many tangents. Jesus. Anyway, so the iris goes fucking up and down, in and out, and it's the part of how much color you have. And then the white part of your eye is called the sclera, and it's pretty much what holds your eye together. It's what gives your eye its shape. So when you fill up a balloon of water compared to like a condom of water, it's going to be harder for you to hold the condom full of water because it's so thin, so it's like the water's everywhere. But if it's like a balloon, it might be a little easier because the latex of the balloon's thicker and holds the shape of the balloon better. So that's kind of what the white part of your eye is. And then we have these little tear ducts on the corner that secrete a protective film and water to our eyes to keep them nice and moist. So that's the eye. I think it's really interesting. I mean, I could obviously go in more to detail about light receptors just because Some of the animals that exist in the kingdom can detect things like ultraviolet light. So one of the really cool animals that I was looking up was the mantis shrimp. So mantis shrimp can see several channels of color. It says up to 16. So that means that the sea creatures can see visible light, which is what we can see, but they can also see polarized light and ultraviolet light. If you've ever seen like people that go into hotel rooms with like the black light to see like all the cum and all that stuff on the walls, that's ultraviolet light, and ultraviolet light reflects differently, and these shrimps can see that. And they can focus each eye on different things at the same time and can achieve depth perception with just one eye. That's really crazy. You know how our pupils go, our pupils are like a circle? Some animals, their pupils are rectangles. So one of those animals is a goat. They call them horizontal slit-shaped pupils, but I mean, it's a rectangle, bitch, like, okay. And this allows the eye to align evenly with the ground as they graze. So horse, I don't know if horses have, I think horses also do too. When it's, it looks so weird, when you see a goat, their pupils are going to look like rectangles. And when they look down, you would think that the rectangles would turn with their head. No, bitch, like these rectangles stay in the same position the whole time. It looks really weird and really creepy, but it's the way that the goat can protect itself because they're being hunted. I mean, they eat, they're prey, bitch. So by having these rectangle shaped pupils gives them a farther, like 160 degree view of their surroundings compared to somebody who has circle pupils. We have peripheral vision, so, you know, we can see, like, if you're looking at your hand, you can probably still see the things to your left and to your right, but you can only see so far. You can't see something that's behind your ears, you know what I mean? So these goats can, because, bitch, they can see everywhere. And that's just their adaptation to survive, because they have fucking things like fucking pumas, which have eyes with fucking the vertical pupils that they have, because, you know, horizontal is a rectangle and vertical would be up and down. So the vertical pupils appear to maximize the ability of animals to see prey from a distance. So these are ambush preys, okay? These aren't animals that just come up and start barking. Like, these are prey. These are animals that look at you from very far away and sneak up on you. And that's what helps them do that. So that's why cats have that type of eye, which is really interesting too. Like, bitch, like, your eye is really gonna change with how you fucking need it. And what's another weird one? I'll end with one more because this is a really long episode. Ooh, clams. Okay, so one of the animals that had on this list was a giant clam. So you think, where does a clam have eyes? And okay, technically it doesn't have the same eyes that we do, but it does have several hundred pinhole eyes that line the exterior of their body. So these structures can sense light and allow the giant clam to perceive nearby predators and various environmental factors. So it's not going to be able to watch Netflix with you, but it's going to know that you're in the room. And that's a really interesting way, because it's technically not, I mean, it is an eye, but it's just so interesting how these eyes in these animal kingdoms just look completely different. And yeah, so that's the eye. I mean, the eye is really cool. If you want me to do a retina fucking episode, please let me know. If you want me to do a light episode, please let me know. I am so into light, the different wavelengths of light, the things that we can't see. And one of the other animals I saw were like elephants, how like they can be colorblind just like us. And that's just so cute. I love elephants. They're amazing. But that's the eye. I mean, if you want to hear something about the body, let me know. I think my next episode might be mitosis. I think that's the right word. I need to look it up again. But pretty much it's when your cells die, they need to make more. and I kind of want to go into what that process looks like. So, all right. Well,